JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Round 14 of the AFL season has been run and won.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
We get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Nice to see you, Damo.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Bill.
Dame.
Enough of these shortened rounds. We get back to the normal ones from now on.
Yeah, we had 3 weeks of it, haven't we? 7 matches last week and only 5 this week. But back to the 9 matches for next week and thereafter for the remainder of the season, which will get the competition back on track, thankfully.
We like that. That'll be good now. Well, let's start with the goods. I'm looking at you, Dame. I see a positive man.
Yeah, I am today, Jim. And it's on the team that hasn't given us a lot of reason over the X amount of years in the past, maybe 15 when you want to go back that far. Essendon. I'm a buyer, and I'm a buyer even if they manage to lose their next two games, Bill. They've got Melbourne this week and then Geelong after that. I still think what they've done this year to this point is positive enough. They've lost the 3 games by 6 points or less. Their kids are genuinely very, very good. Harrison Jones had I thought was his best game for the season. Their backline is holding up, even able to cover people like Francis missing. Stringer's having, I'd say, his best season since 2015 when he was all Australian as a Bulldog. I just really like what they're about. And look, they only beat Hawthorn on the weekend, and that may be some people having a question mark over them still, but they've only lost 1 game in their past 5, and that one was against Richmond. And even in that game, they were okay. They were more than okay. So I really like their body of work.
I'm with you, Dame. 6 wins now, and that game against Geelong in a couple of weeks, they haven't been down to GMHBA since 1993, so it's a long time ago. Looking forward to that game. But the other one, Nick Cox is a star. We know that. Harrison Jones, as you said, he took 8 marks. Every time I looked up, he was taking a good pack mark, kicked 2 goals, probably should have kicked more. Stringer, outstanding, and he's got to be signed yet. But also, Hind, what about his run and carry from the back line? He's been a great pickup.
He really has been. I think he kicked one of the goals of the year yesterday. Yep. He grabbed it early, dished it off, and then just kept running and then still kicked it from 50. And he's not just a good Essendon story in 2021. He's a good competition story, isn't he, Bill? He's come in as a basically a no-name, having played for another club last year. And he's he has to be in the conversation for recruit of the year with all the other big names that you know we would have thought were vying for that, including the big boy down at your club, who's still going very nicely, by the way. But I think he's in the conversations.
Well, they've virtually got him for nothing, and they gave away Saad. Is that right?
That's effectively the in for Saad. And again, he comes on basically base wage compared with what the going rate for Saad was going to be. And look, he's a better fit for Essendon than where they are right now. You're right about Harrison Jones, isn't he, Jim? For a guy who's been on the list without getting a senior game, it was just a nice, they picked him as a younger kid, as a 17-year-old when they drafted him, gave him time in the system, the AFL system, with that being an AFL game. And he's just walked in, and he is showing some elite talent as a marking forward for someone who's still effectively a string bean.
So the 3 they picked up in the draft this year, and they were helped by, I thought, some unbelievable AFL generosity with the compensation pick for Danaher.
Yep.
But still, they got three picks, got them all right, which for me makes the previous 3 years staying out of the first round even worse. Imagine if they hadn't done that. And they'd had those 3 and these 3.
Yeah,
they'd be absolutely having with a rocket heading to the moon.
Yeah.
So I still don't know why they did that. No, that made no sense to me.
But they have actually picked up another key player too, with clever trading. Draper's he's just a good player, isn't he? And he's going to be a whole lot better than he is to this point.
So they've got 2 big weeks. They've got Melbourne and then Geelong, yeah?
Yeah, Melbourne and Geelong
in
that order.
We'll find out a bit.
Their draw after that is okay. They've got to get, I think, one of those 2 to convince themselves as much as the competition. Yep. But, yeah, 1 game out of the 8. The problem is that the 1 game out of the 8, they're behind Richmond, and I don't think anyone thinks Richmond misses. So they might have to attack the teams above Richmond, that being Sydney and maybe even West Coast. But I think the Eagles have got their act back on track. We have to talk about Geelong too, don't we, in the positives list.
Yep.
They put together a 10-win, 3-loss season.
6 in a row now, Fat, I think it is, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
That'll do, I'm not sure. But I didn't think they played that well. They had a few boys missing or out of form, I reckon. But still, Tommy Stewart, outstanding. You love the work of Joel Selwood. Isaac Smith's been, you talk about recruits, and I know we talk about Cameron, of course. But Isaac Smith's been a great pickup.
He has. And he did a number, didn't he, on his namesake in Bailey Smith for most of that game, who he's struggling a bit, Bailey Smith. And we've pumped enough credit into him over the previous 2 years of his AFL career. And he's just dropped off a little bit this year for reasons that maybe how he's being played. But you're right, Bill. He's been as crucial as Jerry McCameron. And there's no coincidence that he was the guy who had the ball and kicked it beautifully to Gary Rowan to give the side the
with
chance.
With Bailey Smith, you say he's dropped off this year. I reckon it's more this month. I reckon his last month has not been as good. Start of the year, I thought he was playing really good footy. They did not a lot wrong, the Dogs. They were fine. They'll be all right. The other games, what do we need to...
GWS needs a good pump up there. After the 0-3 start to the year, to get themselves just back on track and to do it with a bit of authority against Carlton, which we all thought was going to be a little bit more worked up and ready for the contest, and they clearly were. We'll talk about them in the negatives. But Lachie Whitfield, it can't be underestimated, Bill, with what he's been through at the start of the year with the serious kidney issue, the weight loss that coincided with that problem. And then he's just walked back in as though he hasn't missed a beat. And look, he could still somehow win that best and fairest at that club the way he's playing, because he just has not put a foot wrong since he's come back. And again, it's no coincidence that his return has allowed them to start getting on a winning roll. Toby Green, of course. So I want to talk about Toby Green in the negatives, Jim, and I'll talk about him with another Geelong player as well. But again, in terms of the positives with Toby and GWS, the four goals he kicked alongside Jeremy Finlayson's five, it's a good combination. And both those guys having pretty good years up forward. And Green
Josh
particularly.
Kelly as well.
Josh Kelly as well.
No, I agree with you. I said a while back, I reckon Leon Cameron might even be in the frame for Coach of the Year just because of how few people he's been able to pick.
Yep.
And to keep them where they are, they'll get some good cavalry back, I reckon. And they're the team for me, I know we're talking Essendon a bit, but they're the team for me that might, if they can get their best back, might be able to sneak their way in.
Yeah, they could. And look, I like what they've done too, because at 0-3, I think everyone thought that was just going to get worse. And it's actually from that moment that they've actually created some steel about themselves. Brisbane Lions just get jobs done this year. It was a grind against North Melbourne, but they just did what you
found
had to
a way.
Do.
Yep,
they said, you just find a way. Good teams find a way. They did that. It was good to see the ex-Cat again, Bill. He's put together a really good 3-year career now at the Lions in Link McCarthy. And also, too, it's no secret anymore. It wasn't even a secret late last year, but Zach Bailey's just taking himself into levels that put him into the best at his type in the competition. And he was crucial again.
All Australian. He's got to be. Oh, well, he's certainly up there. But you're right with Link McCarthy. The Cats didn't want to get rid of him, but he just gets better and better, and he's a good small forward. He kicks well, he can mark. So they're going beautiful. I love their coach too. Don't you just love him, the way he goes about it?
Yeah, he does. There's no fuss, is there? And people forget, he lost his first 9 games, and then he went on I did the maths on it the other day, Bill. I think it was coming out of his first year into his second, he lost another sequence of 9 or 10 out of 10 or 11. So it wasn't always easy for him. People forget that it took them 2 full years before they clicked in 2019. Seen as a good team, and they've sustained that since. And there's still a little bit of you know what on the liver in terms of just failing to capitalize on an opportunity last year with where the games were being played in Southeast Queensland. And they're not going to say that publicly, and they'll also be quite proud of what they did achieve in reaching a prelim final. But you know it does hurt when you get there and you don't capitalize, and they've got a chance to back it up. One more on the positives: Port Adelaide. Again, it was only against Gold Coast, but you just got to do what you got to do sometimes. And a 8.5 goal win in that regard was all they needed to do.
You know what? When I look at the top eight, they are the team I have no idea about.
Yeah.
For me. The rest you know. You know Melbourne, Western Bulldogs, Cats, Brisbane, you know all of them. You know Sydney, you know, they're just having a crack. They're probably not, you know, if you're talking Group 1 racing, they're probably not quite at that level, but they're having an almighty dip. West Coast and Richmond are going to get really good players back, and we know how good they are. Port, week to week, I have no clue what you're going to get out of them.
No, and there's still that flat track bully element to them, isn't there? Which unfortunately for them, they're just not going to be able to shed until they come or leave. Yep. The home confines and beat a good team, which they just have not done enough in the last couple of years.
They got Sydney this week, so they're playing against another top eight team. All right, we've got the negatives now. I think that's the positivity out of purple.
There's a constant in the negatives, Jim.
All right, we'll get to that next.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
This is Damo's recovery session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour. Damien Barrett's in the studio. We're talking negatives from round 14.
Well, we've got all the good stuff out of the way now. Who's in the gun, please, Purple?
We're going to throw a couple of big names in the competition into this part of our conversation. We're going to throw the captain of the Geelong Footy Club in Joel Selwood and the stand-in captain of the GWS Giants, Bill, in Toby Green. No, look, Bill, I wouldn't have thought that Joel Selwood would be too proud of some of the vision going around as to what he did and where he found his hands on Bulldogs opponents. Bailey Dale being one, his hand was all over his face, and then he had another incident with Taylor Duray where his hand was near his face again, and then he accidentally, in inverted commas, and I do concede there was an accidental component to it, but his leg managed to land on Duray's leg, Bill, in a way that the match review office felt that they were worthy of fines. And look, he's such a great player. We pump enough credit into him over his entire time in the AFL since his first game way back in 2007, Bill, that it's only right that we question some acts when they come the way they came on the weekend, Bill.
All right, move on.
Not happy with that?
Well, that wasn't a stomp. I read somewhere it was a stomp.
I didn't say stomp. I didn't say stomp.
I know you didn't say.
We give him so much credit for how he was able to tap that ball late in the game to his teammate in Dangerfield. So if we want to give him credit for how he was able to use his hands on one occasion, Bill, we need to also criticise him for putting his hands around the face of someone else.
Well, look, the great thing. Yeah, I know. They both got fines. The great thing with these two players we're talking about is they're competitors. And they'll do anything to win, don't
they,
for their side.
They will.
That's why, hence, they get themselves in trouble sometimes. So, but he's broken a lot of records, Joel, hasn't he? I wonder if he's been fined the most.
He might have. What did you make of it, Jim, with the hand on the
look,
face?
I love him. And I love him as a person as well as a footballer.
Yep.
But I'm with you. I reckon he would probably look at that and go, I actually need. Mm. I should be better than that.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would quietly acknowledge that. He'd go, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
You know. And Toby's a bit the same. I love Toby Green. He might be in my top two or three most favourite players to watch.
Yeah.
If he's in a game of footy, you're actually sitting and watching
him. Your eyes are just drawn.
He's incredible. But that stuff, for me, I just always look at that and go, why? Well, why do you do it?
Yeah. Because I don't need to.
No,
it doesn't change the result
or even
the way to go. But when
you play, Damo, when you're out there playing, you get all fired up and you do a couple of silly things. There's no doubt about that. You're very competitive. That's
But Bill, hands around face, I've never got and I never will. And I reckon it should have been a possible suspension for one or if not both of those two players. Because it doesn't send a strong enough message. I mean, they've been fined. They've been slapped on the wrist and they go around again next week and, you know, it's okay under the system.
When Robbo or Johnny Ralph beat you for a story, I reckon you'd love to grab him and stomp on him or grab him by the face.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen, Bill, so that's okay. So, hey, just one more on the negative. And it's,
I like it.
It's a negative in an injury sense in Robbie Gray. We touched on Port before, but it has come through. He's going to require a procedure on that medial ligament in his knee, and he'll miss a similar time frame to what Mitch Duncan will, Bill, from the Geelong Cats. Also, with a knee injury, Mitch Duncan, that's a PCL as opposed to the medial, but both players crucial to their team's chances, but out until very, very late in the home and away season at best, and quite possibly early weeks of finals. Carlton's performance was just dreadful against GWS, and you would have thought, Jim, that given it was their first public outing since the headlines attached to the review being announced, that there would have been more endeavour, more commitment, more energy, more drive, but there was nothing. And while they got it back to two goals at some stage, I don't know how that happened. They still then couldn't even work their way through that period of the game either, and they in the end lost by 36 points, which was their biggest loss of the year, and more reason for concern for every person being reviewed in that footy department.
Yeah, and the messaging after it, I didn't like the look of either. We're playing without confidence, all that sort of stuff. It just you look at it and go, what does that actually mean?
Yeah,
I mean, seriously, what does playing without confidence mean?
Yeah. And he looked like he was being held captured, didn't he? Like a terror, like those movies you see, poor old Tiggy after it.
Yeah, look, Bill, I'm not his biggest fan, as you know, but I don't hold that against him given the situation with COVID this year and the way those rooms can be very echoey when you're doing those press conferences and media conferences on Zoom. So I'm giving him an out on that aspect of it, Bill. But yeah, it didn't help his cause, absolutely.
No, they've got big concerns for me.
As do the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah, we'll see. Now, here we go, Purple.
We
have cut them, I think, as an industry, way too much slack.
10 and a half, 11 years of slack.
They have been horrible. Actually, What we also need to do is acknowledge that Guy McKenna was a far better coach than anyone gave him credit for at the
time. That is a good point.
Because when he was there, he actually had him up and about, and then Gaz hurt his shoulder, and that was that. But up to that point, that's the best footy as a club they've ever played.
2014, long time ago.
Since he's left, they have been horrible.
They have. And that year in question is still their best ladder finish, which ended up being 12th in that particular year, and that was when Ablett did go down. Yep. You're right. They were in the eight, effectively, when he went down in that match, and then that was it for them. They've twice won a wooden spoon. They've three times finished second last.
Been given a priority pick.
Priority pick two seasons ago, and that was meant to be the final resolution or solving apparatus, wasn't it?
So what is it? I mean, you're much better connected to that place than any of us. What is going on there? Why can't they get anywhere near it?
Yeah, I'm not even buying the region not being conducive, Bill. And you're big on the region not working out for any sports
team. Nothing works there.
I get that, Bill. But they've been able to identify talent. Their talent identification has been unquestioned, I would think. And you go back to the players they drafted early. Some of those are still going around at other clubs right now playing key roles. Charlie Dixon for one.
Yep.
Tom Lynch for another. I mean, there's been great players at that footy club. They just don't want to stay. So it's development and retention. And there's a link. There's a link in that issue.
Well, and as well as that, Purple, and you're spot on, all of that you just said is spot on, they're not a hard team to play against.
Yep.
That would be the thing that worries me the most.
And never have been, to your point. Maybe that 2014 year, yes. But under Rocket Eade, they weren't. And they're not under Stewie Jew. And I get why he wanted to come in and maybe free them up and let the kids be the type of player that it initially gets them attracted to a recruiter at a footy club. And that's all well and good too, but they're just not. And the problem is there's a care factor that is minimal for the whole competition, apart from the cash drain that they are.
11 goals to two at three-quarter time. It's dismal. Yeah. They're a long, 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 long way away.
Yep.
Terrible. Three goal kickers they had, King, Bowers and Sexton. Hey, I know that. You're talking about coaches. I've got a question for you, Damo.
Yep.
I heard Ross Lyon on Triple M on Sunday. Very good. Great addition, by the way.
How good is he? Yeah.
He's a positive for Triple M. We love him. But he seemed to be very keen on a player he used to coach, and he wants to get him to a club that he could very well coach.
Well, what do you mean? That's a bit cryptic, Fat.
Very cryptic for Anthony William, but so work that one out, Jim.
Why don't you just tell us what it is?
What he's trying to say, Jim, is this, that Adam Chera, who he once coached at Fremantle, he has put his name, Bill, as you rightly heard yesterday, to the benefits that Carlton Football Club would gain if they were to get Adam Chera. And your Bill's therefore then put two and two together.
I think
you're trying to say that Ross wants to coach Carlton, Bill, with Chera as part of it.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Read my lips.
No, I saw it, Bill. he's a very good player, Adam Chera.
You like him, don't you? You wanted him early, Jim. I know he went high in the draft, but you felt he turned the corner.
And he uses the ball superbly. He's only going to get better and better and better. So if the Blues are after him, so they should be. And there'll be lots of clubs in the same conversation.
Yeah.
Ross Lyon seems to pump up or be a lot more positive towards the Carlton Footy Club than the Collingwood Footy Club, Damo.
Is that fair? I haven't heard everything he has said about both clubs, but the times I have heard him talk, Bill, I think you're right to potentially...
Ross Lyon listening.
Yeah. Are you mounting the case for Ross to go to Carlton, Bill?
Well, I'd love to see him. I think he can coach. We don't want to lose him, of course, at Triple
M. No, we don't, actually.
You know what? He's good. The coaches do the coaching and the players do the playing and the cobblers do the cobbling.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Yeah, so this is how I read this. Someone's told Bill what Ross Lyon's been saying. Because he hasn't listened to our word that he said.
Do you want to go a bit deeper about this, Bill, or have we let it go?
No, let's move on. What are you doing?
You're a bit late in coming in today, Jim, and Bill and I might have been speaking about this.
Yes, exactly. Who else in the negatives?
Yeah, it takes some doing to find yourself in the bads out of a round of footy when you don't even play on that previous weekend, doesn't it? But the St Kilda Footy Club, the week they had in the lead into the bye they had was just horrendous on so many levels. And it all spun off, I feel, a lack of proper public verbal support around two players in Tim Membry and Seb Ross. And we know what happened last week. We discussed it on this program a few times. But for the club to let that narrative flow for a minimum 24 hours without properly arresting it and stopping it and just explaining that they were entitled to put family ahead of football for that particular weekend was poor. And as such, the season that was already horrendous got more so in the back of it.
Oh, and it would not surprise me. I don't know this. I don't know anyone from St Kilda from the playing side of things. But it would not surprise me if the players were well and truly off the people that run the joint.
prior to that?
No, because of it.
Yeah.
Because not only those two blokes and their families, but the other 40 on the list, certainly the older players, would surely be looking at the top office going, please.
Where's the support?
Where's the support?
Yeah.
Where are you publicly coming out and absolutely putting to bed anything that's being, you know, I think horrendously, you know, mentioned in this space? But they didn't.
No, they didn't.
They said nothing, and that just made the whole thing worse.
And then when they did, finally, it was a wishy-washy explanation, almost a bet each way in how it all unfolded when you just had to be strong in that moment.
But you know, the great thing out of all this, you can watch them Friday night. They're playing Friday night footy.
How are they doing that? How in a semi-rolling fixture sense have the AFL put them on a Friday night against Richmond, isn't it, Bill, I think?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But a strong club, Purple, does not do that. A strong club does not. None of that happens at a strong club.
A strong club would debate internally the fact the players may miss, and there's no drama with that. But the moment the decision is arrived at, okay, they're going to miss, that's when you go hard and back the players and the public narrative around it.
No, if anyone said that about a North Melbourne player when I was the president, look out.
Mm.
You would come off a Michael Holding run
that
would see you jump over the side screen.
Mm.
That's how angry you'd be at anyone saying that about a player at your footy club.
Yep.
And yet the silence was embarrassing.
Oh, the silence was embarrassing and deafening in itself.
All right. Yep. So anyone else?
No, that was probably it. I mean, just the Bulldogs lost two of their past three, but I'm not raising them as a bad or a negative. It's just that they have lost two of their past three. Look, they did everything but beat Geelong, and they did it without Treloar and Dunkley, who are out long-term, and Martin, who was a late withdrawal, and they lost Norton just on the bell of half-time.
How's he going, by the way?
He's flown to Perth for in readiness for that game on Sunday against West Coast, but it will be a watch and see.
They need him.
They're talking up his chances of being available.
All right, Purple. Well, nice and comprehensive from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. Fats obviously just involved in other conversations that he then just dribbles into a Monday.
I thought he was pretty sharp.
All over it.
He was pretty sharp yesterday on the Sunday footy show, too.
No, I heard he wasn't. My mail is
he trained
there
off a bit. He was talking
actually
about
doing his quaddy.
He was.
On a television show.
He started talking about giraffes again late in the show, too, Bill. So he's obsessed with giraffes.
And enough performance
you know
again.
Said?
Behind the glass?
Yeah, there was on the Friday night. He said giraffes don't make a noise.
Oh, so they don't. Have you ever heard a giraffe make a noise, Jim? Like a bark?
That's what he said on TV.
I live in Victoria. Giraffes are in Africa.
He said they don't bark.
Probably don't hear them too often, no.
They've got seven bones in their neck, haven't they, Bill? Is that right?
Only got seven bones in their neck, which is unbelievable. But they don't make a noise. They don't do a little or a rawr or a roof.
There's something actually wrong with him. No, there's something properly wrong with him.
Definitely is. No. We're on holiday next week. Can't come soon enough.
Every animal has a noise.
How do you know they don't make a noise?
Well, I've never heard them.
Well, because you live in Victoria.
I was in the Africa. I was in the
They're
jungle.
They're in
with
Botswana.
Them.
And they have trouble drinking too, don't they, Bill?
Well, they can't drink. We've seen that. They've got to put their front legs out and do the splits, and then they get down and... No. They're a strange animal, but they're a beautiful animal.
They don't make a noise, Jim.
Oh, I cannot believe what I'm hearing.
What's a giraffe do?
I'm hitting the closer.
Turn him off.
Damo's recovery session.